Worried, eh? Feeling a bit Avis Domestica. Cluck, cluck, cluck. It's a shame to take your money. There was another pause. 10 sides. 10 sides? Told you it wasn't any good. Whoever heard of a tortoise doing geometry? Another daft idea, did Akolos? They said so all along. It was just a tortoise.
There's good eating on one of those.
The mass of philosophers broke up, pushing past Brother without paying him much attention. He caught a glimpse of a circle of damp sand covered with geometrical figures. Om was sitting in the middle of them. Behind him was a very grubby pair of philosophers counting out a pile of coins.
"How did we do, Urn?" said Didactylos.
"We're 52 obols up, Master. See? Every day things improve. Pity it didn't know the difference between 10 and 12, though. Cut one of its legs off and we'll have a stew."
"Cut off a leg?"
"Well, a tortoise like that, you don't eat it all at once."
Didactylos turned his face towards a plump young man with splayed feet and a red face, who was staring at the tortoise.
"Yes?"
he said.
"The tortoise does know the difference between 10 and 12, said the fat boy. "Damn thing just lost me 80 obols, said Didactylos.
"Yes, but tomorrow," the boy began, his eyes glazing as if he was carefully repeating something he'd just heard, "tomorrow you should be able to get odds of at least 3 to 1.
Didactylos's mouth dropped open.
"Give me the tortoise, Urn," he said.
The apprentice philosopher reached down and picked up Om very carefully.
"You know, I thought right at the start there was something funny about this creature," said Didactylos. "I said to Urn, there's tomorrow's dinner, and then he says, no, no, it's dragging its tail in the sand and doing geometry. That doesn't come natural to a tortoise, geometry."
Om's eye turned to Brother.
"I had to," he said. "It was the only way to get his attention. Now I've got him by the curiosity. When you've got him by the curiosity, their hearts and minds will follow."
"He's a god," said Brother.
"Really? What's his name?"
said the philosopher.
"Don't tell him. Don't tell him. The local gods will hear."
"Oh, I don't know," said Brother.
Didactylos turned Om over.
"The turtle moves,"
said Urn thoughtfully.
"What?"
said Brother.
"Master did a book,"
said Urn.
"That's not really a book," said Didactylos modestly. "More a scroll. Just a little thing I knocked off."
"Saying that the world is flat and goes through space on the back of a giant turtle,"
said Brother.
"Oh, have you read it?"
Didactylos's gaze was unmoving.
"Are you a slave?"
"No," said Brother.
"Don't mention my name. Call yourself a scribe or something."
Scribe, said Brother, weakly.
"Yeah," said Urn. "I can see that. The telltale callus on the thumb where you hold the pen. The ink stains all over your sleeves."
Brother glanced at his left thumb.
"I haven't got..."
"Yeah," said Urn, grinning. "Use your left hand, do you?"
I use both," said Brother, "but not very well, everyone says."
"Ah," said Didactylos. "Ambisinister."
"What?"
"He means incompetent with both hands," said Om.
Oh, yes, that's me."
Brother coughed politely.
"Look, I'm looking for a philosopher. One that knows about gods."
He waited. Then he said,
"You aren't going to say they're a relic of an outmoded belief system?"
Didactylos, still running his fingers over Om's shell, shook his head.
"No, I like my thunderstorms a long way off." "Oh, could you stop turning him over and over? He's just told me he doesn't like it."
"You can tell how old they are by cutting them in half and counting the rings," said Didactylos.
"Oh, he hasn't got much of a sense of humour either."
"You're Omnian by the sound of it."
"Yes. Here to talk about the treaty. I do the listening. And what do you want to know about gods?"
Brother appeared to be listening. Eventually he said,
"How they start, how they grow, and what happens to them afterwards."
Didactylos put the tortoise into Brother's hands.
"It costs money, that kind of thinking,"
he said.
"Let me know when we've used more than 52 orbs."